Welcome to the Author Show, where we always present new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between, you name it, and you will find it here. To watch the TV version of the show, visit authorswebtv.com. That's authorswebtv.com. And now, let the show begin.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming to the program author Jamie Dodson, and Jamie is the author of China Clipper. Jamie is a career intelligence officer and also teaches aviation history part-time at the University of Alabama at Huntsville. He's a member of the OSS Foundation, Military Intelligence Corps Association, and Pan Am Historical Foundation. Jamie holds a systems engineering certificate from the University of Alabama, Huntsville, a master's in computers and systems management from Webster University, and a bachelor's in geospatial science from the University of Colorado. Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing good today, Don. How about you?
Good. Well, what inspired you to write this particular story?
Well, as a young second lieutenant assigned in Hawaii, I stumbled across a little-known and fascinating aspect about aviation history. My son uncovered a covered-up memorial mark of the China Clipper. It was in Pearl City, Hawaii. And we decided that that would be a great story to explore. So we found an area of American history that is little-known and has some fascinating aspects.
So what was it about the China Clipper that captured the attention of the world?
Well, it was the first transoceanic airline ever to fly. 7 years after Lindbergh crossed the Atlantic in his earth-shattering flight, American Airlines decided they were going to fly scheduled airline service across the Pacific Ocean. It's an imaginable feat. It's something like the space shuttle today.
So you write historical fiction. What part of your story is fiction? And what part of this is history?
In my first book, Flying Boats and Spies, all of it is actual. It happened with the exception of one dramatic element I put in. All the people are real. Everything about the story is true with the exception of my hero, Nick Grant, who is a figment of my imagination, and now I guess the minds of many other young children. And it was also all the events actually occurred. They took place. The conversations between many of the characters are actual conversations that occurred.
So don't you have a movie option with this thing?
Yes, I do. I've been very fortunate. On stage and I signed a contract with Black Sheep Productions in 2008 to as an option for a major motion picture. I am currently writing, I'm rewriting the script to Flying Boats and Spies, and we're going to pitch this summer to Lakeshore Productions, and we also hope to get in with Warner Brothers, and I'll tell you why that's important at a little bit later.
So how does writing a script differ from writing a novel?
Oh, it's amazing. To me, I was absolutely flabbergasted because writing scripts is very formulaic. You have a certain number of pages you have to comply to. You can't use any kind of interior thought. Everything in a script, you have to see it or you have to hear someone say it. So with a novel, you can be inside a character's head and you can express thoughts, you can express feelings. Can't do that in a script. Also, it's got to be a lot tighter. You got to pack a lot of story into 120 pages.
So what about you? What kind of books do you like to read?
I like to read a lot of hysterical, or as I like to call it, historical fiction. Historical fiction or historical fiction gives me a great sense of the past, but it's wrapped around interesting characters that you care about and you want to follow. I also read a great deal of books by A.A. Milner's poems stories from Winnie the Pooh, and when we were very, very young, were important to me. My mother read them to me and my sister when I was young. And then I also read a lot of Robert Heinlein, which I enjoy. Right now, I read all of Gary Paulsen's books, and I also read Garth Nix. I like Philip Pullman, John Flanagan, and of course, Homer Hickam's stories. I've always been a great fan of Homer Hickam.
So how has your career and your personal experiences, how have they affected your work?
Well, I've done a great deal of writing and a great deal of analysis and storytelling for the U.S. intelligence community. Unfortunately, a lot of that stuff still remains classified, and we can't discuss it in this medium. But it's given me the chance to tell a story and put together facts and put it into a narrative that makes sense. I've used those skills in developing my storyline and also the subplots that go into a novel.
So how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, a lot longer than I first envisioned. Foolishly and ignorantly, when I started the process, I thought I would be done in 6 to 9 months. In fact, it took me over 5 years before I got my first contract.
Okay, so it took you 5 years. As you went through the process, was there any part of it that you could say, you know, I really enjoyed doing that?
Actually, I enjoyed almost every part of it, and I really didn't even mind the editing, which many writers will tell you they do not enjoy, because I knew I was making my story better and more readable. I really enjoyed the background research because I'm sort of a closet historian, but I also enjoyed the composition part, the sitting down and learning how to tell a narrative in such a way as you can keep people's interest, essentially learning what to put in and what to leave out.
I think that almost all writers, when they decide, hey, I'm going to write a book, they immediately get this picture in their mind. Here's what's going to happen when I complete the book. I'm going to be famous, whatever. Did you have a picture in your mind when you began this process? And if so, what was it?
Oh, absolutely. I would be driving around in an old 1930s car with Nick Grand Adventures plastered on the side. I'd pull up to Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, and there would be thousands of adoring fans cheering me and throwing confetti in the air. Oh, my God, look, it's actually Dodson. He's really here. The reality has been somewhat different from that, but nonetheless very pleasurable.
So, knowing what you know now and being where you are now, if someone were to come up to you and say, hey, I'm going to write a book, what is the number one piece of advice you would give that person?
Putting it into number one is difficult, but I would say find a writer's critique group, preferably with someone who was already published in the group, so that you can read your stories aloud to another bunch of authors so they can help you critique it and make you a better writer. I think that writer critique groups are absolutely essential for anyone who is beginning writing in America.
So when you sit down to develop your storylines or your characters, do you have this fully formed in your mind and you just kind of put it to paper, or is it more of a situation where you have a general idea of what you think is going to happen and you begin to write and just let things go where they may?
Well, it's sort of a combination of both, Don. I'll tell you, I usually have an end state in mind for what is going to, how the book will conclude, and actually, in my case, how the series will conclude. And then I back it out from there, from the back to the front. So I kind of rearward plan it. Essentially, what I'll do is make chapter headings and then start working on it from the beginning. But I'll tell you that, with that in mind, sometimes I'll get stuck working in Chapter 3, and I'll jump to Chapter 7 or Chapter 9 or what I think is going to be those chapters and start developing those aspects of the story. That way, writer's block doesn't seem to affect me as much.
So what do you feel that your reader is going to get from reading this book?
Anyone who is interested in aviation history and the great exploits of American technological prowess in the 30s and 40s will really enjoy this book. I write stories about the gigantic men and women of those eras who were in many ways larger than life. I tell a story about a fantastic era where the United States of America was on its knees in the worst depression that we'd ever faced, and yet we still had hope as Americans. We still dreamed and made these incredible flying machines. American technology at the very beginning or the end of the 30s was phenomenal across the board, much as it is today. Even though we were downtrodden as a nation, I see those stories as telling people how, even at the worst of times, we can still dream great dreams, we can still do great things.
And what did you get from writing this book?
I actually became a much better speller, and then I also became, I was able to talk to people more openly. I'm actually somewhat shy, although you may not know that from our interview, and I can get tongue-tied quite easily. I've been able to get in front of large groups of people and talk about the things that I love, which is reading and writing. I've gained a lot. I've also gained a lot of very close friends. People in those writer critique groups I speak about really form the nucleus of a great group of people. And I'm very proud to know them, and I thank them every day for all the help they've given me in getting published.
If you could have lunch with any author on the planet, living or dead, who would it be and why?
I think that I would want to sit down with Bernard Cornwell. He writes, probably many of your listeners have heard of the Sharp series. He also wrote very excellent Saxon stories. He has, I think, 78 titles. He has a great way of pulling a narrative together. He can write very well in first person. He can write in third person. He's an amazing storyteller. He's a Brit, and I don't hold that against him, even though he lives in America, and he writes compelling stories about my ancestral land, which, of course, is Britain.
Now, in your opinion, who should buy this book and read it?
Well, I would say anybody who has an interest in aviation of the 30s and the 40s. Aviation in the 30s and 40s was filled with very, very glamorous people of the day. The aviators, of course, were not as glamorous as the movie stars they flew around, of the adventurous people they flew around. I would also say anybody who has an interest in the run-up to the Pacific War, this story is very accurate in its portrayal of the intelligence war which happened between Japan and the United States in the years leading up to the attack on Pearl Harbor. In fact, in my first book, I have a discussion aboard the USS Arizona, famously known for blowing up and, you know, taking 1,000 men to their graves.
Time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we buy this book?
It's available at Amazon.com, of course. It's also available at the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C., at the Seattle Museum of Flight in Seattle, the Boeing Museum. It's available at the Hiller Museum, which is out in Santa Clara, California, just south of San Francisco. The Southern Museum of Flight is also available online. If you want dedicated and signed copies, you can contact me through my website, which is nickgrantadventures, that's all one word, .com.
This has been very enlightening. Our guest today has been Jamie Dodson, and Jamie is the author of China Clipper. Jamie, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate the time.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each week you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. This is a free service of The Author Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit www.theauthorshow.com. Fill out the form, and we may be contacting you shortly. And if you're an author, don't forget to visit Book Marketing, the author's marketing powerhouse, at bookmarketing.ning.com. We look forward to seeing you here next time on The Author Show.
Thank you for listening to The Author Show. To contact us about the show, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 1-877-955-8800. Or visit wnbnetworkwest.com. Tune in next time for another great author on The Author Show.